Let's go to 2 Samuel again. 2 Samuel. We're going to read in chapters 16 and 17 this morning, but I'll read as we go through it. I'll not just read a bunch of scripture and then start. We're going to just do it this way. Now, last week we looked at some lessons from the way David dealt with the crisis in his life when his son rebelled and tried to take the kingdom and kill him. David was the victor and his son was the loser. So this week let's take some lessons from the loser. Lessons for life from a loser this morning. It's important stuff. It applies. I see it all the time. It's in every situation, every family situation, every church situation, everywhere I've ever been, in any situation with other people. You always got the Davids and you got the Absaloms. And you always got this situation. Everybody thinks they're David and nobody thinks they're Absalom. So, we're going to look at this. Lesson number one. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Loser. You're going to be a loser if you bite off more than you can chew. Don't take on. Don't strive to put yourself in a position where you don't know what you're doing or what to do next. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 20 and 23, we'll read there. We'll start there. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel. Now, he's in Jerusalem now. David has left and handed it over to him. Just take it if you want it. If you think you're man enough, there it is. And he walked off. So did the army. So did everybody else with David. And Absalom's got it. He talked his way here. Now he's here and he's got it. Now what I do? That's what he says here. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. What are we going to do? What do I do next, guys? And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred by thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. Whose house? David's house. And Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel. Now this seems strange right here, but you got to understand it in the context here. The counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So in other words, Ahithophel's counsel was right on the mark. I mean, for getting the job done. It was. You think God would tell him to do that? No, of course not. But Ahithophel was advising somebody on how to win and how to get the upper hand on this. He was a good counselor to David. He told David what to do, gave him counsel, and David followed his counsel. Now, Absalom had talked his way into this position. You remember we talked about it a week or two ago. He was like a politician. He was a silver-tongued guy. He said what people wanted to hear. He promised them what they wanted to hear and have, and that's how he got here, talking. He never used a sword. He never done anything different than talk. That's how he got here. Now, he's got himself in this position. And then he had no idea what to do next. You can't talk your way from here. When you get on the top, then what do you do? Talking ain't going to do no good. He had to ask for ideas. And the idea first presented pleased him well. Now, that's the very way that many men become pastors and teachers and then have no idea what to do next. They talk their way into it. They campaign their way into it. They promote themselves into it. And then they have no idea what to do next. You know what I got this week? I got a message off of the website. We do have a church website, you know, and there's a thing on there where you can send a message. Well, I get these messages from people. I got a message from a preacher, and he's selling outlines, $10 a piece. And you can even look at samples, and they don't even cover one page, but $10. Give you an outline to preach on. Been doing it for years to help preachers, of course. And Well, what kind of preacher? I've often wondered that. What in the world kind of preacher is this guy who goes on the internet and buys outlines for sermons? I've been a lot of places and preached and stuff, and I've had it happen pretty often. You know, somebody's come out, one of the preachers come out and said, "Hey, can I have that outline?"
Well, I've heard them do that.
Why would you do that? Because you don't have any of your own.
Nope.
You don't know where. Don't you know where I got this? I mean, you can go over there and get it too. But it ain't free. But it don't cost you money, but it ain't free. So he didn't know what to do. But I'm telling you, that's the way a lot of people get to be pastors of churches, the same way. They talk their way into it, and they get there, and then they don't know what to do. And this is the very same way that a lot of churches bail off into building programs and projects and get in over their head. I've known people and churches and pastors that started bought this property and went millions of dollars in debt and then crash. They didn't know what to do. So, and people do it in their own life. Everybody's always wanting to climb higher than where they can handle it. Everybody wants to be in a position where if they were in that position, they wouldn't know what in the world to do. Now, why do people want that? You know, these little kids right here, if you'd put them behind the driver's wheel of a car, they think they could do it. Could they do it? Oh, no, they couldn't drive 10 feet till they wouldn't know what to do. But they want to try, and they think they can. And the only problem is nobody else understands how much they know and how much they could do if you just get out of the way and let them do it. Yeah. That's what Absalom was. And so he risked nothing of his own person by lying with his father's concubines. First, what are we going to do now? Well, Ahithophel said, here's what you need to do. It wasn't take a sword and go out there and fight. It wasn't anything like that. Ahithophel kind of knew Absalom, didn't he? You think Absalom was a warrior?
No.
No, he wasn't a warrior. He was a pretty boy, and he was a sneak, and he was the kind of guy that set Joab's fields on fire because he wouldn't answer him. He didn't go face anybody down. There's no account in the Bible of Absalom ever facing anybody down, even his own brother after what he did to his sister.
Right.
He did it conniving and stealth and on the side. So it was no risk of anything of his person to do this, what Ahithophel said. Lie with your father's concubines. It's design. Now, this counsel of Ahithophel, the design of it was to prove to the people that if David wouldn't do anything about this, he wouldn't do anything at all. And so Absalom would surely be the new king. And all the hands of the people that were with him would be strengthened. Because look what he did, and David ain't done a thing. He ain't going to do nothing. This is our new king. That was the design of it. That's why Ahithophel told him to do this. Because it works that way. People are that stupid. They're that fickle and changeable. They've known David for 30-some years as their king. And years before that, before he was the king, they knew him. And yet they're that easily persuaded by a lying, no account, worthless, no character, no strength, no courage, nothing, no skill, guy like Absalom. Take it all away with evil and filth and stuff like that. Lesson number two, stick with the counsel of the people who have the same goals and desires as you do. These are lessons from a loser. If Absalom had any way of telling you, or any loser that's ever lived had any way of telling you, they'd tell you this. Lesson number one, don't bite all more than you can chew. Lesson number two, stick with the counsel of people who have the same goals and desires as you do. People that don't have the same goals and desires you do, they're not going to counsel you right. They're going to counsel you so to trick you into doing what they want done, not what you want done. What you're doing, you're letting them have the wheel for a minute, and they're going to guide it in their direction, not in your direction. So you better stick with people who have the same goals and desires as you do. Two counselors, Ahithophel and Hushai. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, "Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night, and I will come upon him." There's three times so far Ahithophel's mentioned himself. Sounds like an Obama speech to me. But, "And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite the king only, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace." And the saying pleased Absalom well, because Absalom's easily swayed too. Anything that works well for him, if it's framed in a way so that when it shows that at the end of this thing, you're going to be the man, he's for it. Sounds good to him. Oh, it pleased him well. And all the elders of Israel. And besides, if I don't have to fight for it, and if I don't have to go out there, that's a good thing too. If somebody else will do it for me. Because all these kind of guys like Absalom, they have other people do it for them. Boy, I've had that a lot through the years too. I've had different... You know, I can think of one or two preachers that begged and pleaded with me to come and help them. Well, what they really wanted was me to do it all, and them just riding around and going to meetings and getting all the glory and bragging about what all they were doing here. That's what they wanted. And I'm not exaggerating or stretching nothing there. I'll bring about those down. And the same pleased Absalom well and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, "Call now Hushai the Archite also. Let us hear likewise what he saith." And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake to him, saying, "Ahithophel has spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou." Well, Absalom, the dummy, the fool, don't even know what Hushai's doing there. He don't know what he's doing there. No, sir. Well, I mean, actually... Ahithophel was actually manipulating Absalom to accomplish his own agenda. But his goal was the same as Absalom when it came to getting rid of David for good. See? Ahithophel had the same thing in mind that Absalom had in mind, getting rid of David. But Ahithophel is manipulating Absalom to get what he wants. Got a bunch of selfish people here. Got a bunch of hate-filled, angry, vengeful people working together against David. And there's no honor among thieves, and there's no honor among hateful, vengeful, wicked people either. And so they're going to use one another every which way they can. And so that's what Ahithophel is about. Now, the thing about it is, Absalom should have listened to Ahithophel if he wanted to survive this thing, if he wanted to win this thing. Because they do have the same goal in mind. Just get that. Just get that simple little thing right there. Absalom, in his pride, had no idea, of course, that Ahithophel was manipulating him. Because he thought everybody on earth was there because they believed in him as much as he did. Absalom thought, everybody loves Absalom. Absalom thought, I'm the man, and everybody loves me. And everybody's always told me how pretty I am, and how beautiful I am, and how, boy, what a wonderful person I am. Everybody loves me. That's why they're here. He had no idea that Ahithophel had anything else in mind. He had no idea that Hushai had anything else in mind. He thinks he's so smart, and he thinks he's got everything under control, and he is the dummy. He's the fool that everybody is using. You think his daddy don't know that? You wonder why David said, "Don't kill him. Don't kill him." Because he knew. David knew what the situation was. And he knew Ahithophel very well. And he knew his feelings. And he knew his counsel. And he knew how he was. And so he knew what was going on here. Absalom was the sucker. Really. Now these are all wicked people working together for the time being. Each one with his own agenda, so it's bound to come to an end soon. Absalom follows the counsel of those who play his pride and his lust. He followed Ahithophel's counsel when he said, "Won't you just go with all them women there?" Well, sure. But when it comes to this other thing, he accepted the counsel of Hushai because it made him the hero and promised him the glory and promised him an easy victory because of his greatness. Now, that's the way that Hushai painted up the picture when he gave his counsel. Hushai said in verse 7, chapter 17, Hushai said to Absalom, "The counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For, said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and that they be chafed in their minds, as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place, and it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it..." Now, he's talking about if Ahithophel goes like this. He said, "Some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there's a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant and whose heart is as the heart of a lion shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men." So you see what he's saying? Hushai is clever and sharp at the way he words this thing. I mean, he gives David the credit for being a mighty man. And they're chafed. And the men that are with him are mighty men. And if Ahithophel goes with these 12,000 men, I mean, they're already mad and their hands on the trigger. And so when they engage them, they're liable to slaughter a bunch of us first. And then that's going to make everybody's... You know, that's going to scare everybody, and they're going to run. You don't want to do that. This ain't going to work. Don't send them 12,000 in there. Here's what I counsel you to do. "Therefore, I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee." All Israel. Get everybody in Israel to come to you. And, I mean, from Dan even to Beersheba is the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. So shall we come upon him some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him and of all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found there." You see what he said? Let's get everybody together. Don't just go with a special forces. Let's take everybody. Let's give it all we got. And you are going to be in the lead. You lead like a king. Lead your people into battle. Had Absalom ever led anybody into battle?
No.
Nope. But boy, that sure sounds glorious. And that sure sounds like, man, that'll get him the... And it ain't even going to be a contest. I mean, they're just going to whoop David and them with no contest. And David has the army. David has Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, and all of the mighty men that he's always had. And they're going to go up there and just whoop them like nothing. Ain't even going to be a contest. Whatever's left, we'll just put a rope around them, drag them into the river. Oh, did Absalom bite?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir, boy. He accepted the counsel of Hushai because it made him the hero. And promised him the glory. And promised him an easy victory. Because he's so great, you know. And Absalom once again proved he was a fool by falling for the counsel of a spy, which was designed to bring about his demise. David had sent him in there to do that. He's way ahead of this foolish boy who thinks he's so smart. But the lesson for God's people here is to make sure that you stick with like-minded people and don't be led off into ungodly counsel by your own pride and lust. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And what's the answer? No. Can't get along. Can't walk together unless you be agreed. Agreed about what? What life's about. What God's like. The truth. What we're here for. And what we're here to accomplish. You can't agree. Just can't walk together. So, lesson number 3, beware of your own pride because it'll lead to your destruction. Yeah. Ahithophel was wise and counseled Absalom to let him take 12,000 men and go after David himself. Because Absalom was proud and Ahithophel's plan didn't include him in any way, He asked for Hushai's counsel. Now, Absalom accepted Hushai into his presence simply because he knew that he'd been a close friend of his father's for many years, and it helped his pride to know that one of his father's closest friends had chosen him instead. You see? Do you remember when Hushai came back? And Absalom said, "Well, is this thy kindness to thy friend?" It was his father's friend for many years, and he knew it. And Hushai said, "Nah, but whoever God and the people of Israel choose, that's who I will serve." That's enough. Absalom said, "Woo! Sucker. Stupid. He's a loser. Lessons from a loser. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Don't think more of yourself than what you are. You better stick with people that have the same goal as you do." Now, so Absalom's pride blinded him to the fact that Hushai was a spy sent in by David to foil his wicked ambition. You know, if he'd have been a wise man, he would have stopped and thought. He would have asked Ahithophel, "What do you think about this?" He'd ask some more people. He'd have stopped and thought about it instead of just biting at it like a fish at a worm. But he didn't even think. He was so full of self-confidence that he didn't even question why this man's really here. Now, Hushai didn't have the same goal in mind as Absalom did. Hushai didn't have in mind the same goal as Ahithophel did. Hushai immediately sent the sons of the priests to go tell David what's going on. That's what he's there for. And that's the way David instructed him. He said, "You give counsel, and then you send the sons of Zadok and Abiathar. You send them, and they'll come and tell me." And that's what they did. So see, what we see the whole picture of what's going on. Absalom don't have a clue. He don't have a clue. What's going on? He thinks he's the king sitting on top of the world. 35 years old, and he has done it, boy. And it's all, he's just playing his way right into his own grave. Big pile of rocks. Hushai's counsel to Absalom concerning how to attack David and kill him and all his people was designed to appeal to Absalom's pride, and it certainly did. He'd go in his own person, and they'd attack David's people head on and kill them all. In one spectacular battle, that's the way it's going to be. He painted a picture where David and his men wouldn't even put up a fight. And they could all be dragged into the river, and it'd all be over. I see a lot of little young hotshots the same way. Boy, they're going to fight. I'm going to punch them out. It's like there ain't never going to be nothing swung back at you. I'll pull out my gun. Well, he might have a gun too. Did you ever think of that? You take a swing at him, he might plow you. People fight back. And hotshots don't understand that when they're young losers. Boy, he found it out the hard way. All of that in spite of the fact that David had retained all the heads of his military and all the experienced men of war were with him. All the, if you will, all the generals, all of the brass, everybody went with David. None of them stayed with Absalom. What kind of army did he have then? He didn't even appoint a captain of the host until this. He didn't even have anybody in charge of the army, of the military. Anybody in charge of organizing to fight. He didn't have nobody until they decided to do this. And then just, "Hey, Amasa, you do it." And you're going to go against David, who has never lost a battle. David, who has conquered the Philistines and everybody else for the last 40 years. What a fool. That's why he goes down in history as a loser. David retained all the heads of his military and all the experienced men of the war, men of war, while Absalom had no leaders and few, if any, experienced fighters. And they're going to go up there and one spectacular battle, and they're just going to fight and kill all of David and all of his people and his men, and Joab and Abishai and all of them, and throw them in the river. And they ain't even going to fight back. And that's what Absalom's going up there with his head full of. And no wonder he hung in a tree with his nose in the air. Absalom went to war in his pride, overestimating himself and underestimating what he was going against. Right. You're going to be a loser when you do it that way. Absalom was a fool. Lesson number 4. You better not misunderstand or underestimate your enemy.
Yes.
And the only reason you will is because of your pride and your own foolishness that'll make you do that. Don't mistake his reluctance to engage you or others for weakness or fear or lack of resolve. Don't mistake somebody's reluctance to argue with you or fight with you or anybody else for weakness or ignorance or lack of resolve or fear. He really may be trying to avoid a fight with you for your sake, not his. That's really the way it is. Why is David... What's David doing here? Trying to avoid bringing about the death of his own son and all the other people that are foolishly, blindly following him. David's not concerned about his own reputation. David's not concerned about what people think of him, is he?
No.
It's all in the Lord's hands. But David will take up a sword. David will do something about this. Instead of, he doesn't have the kind of faith that just sits by and lets whatever, okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever happens, happens. Not when it's like this. Absalom left him with no choice. David just said, there it is, if you want it, have it. If Absalom just stayed in Jerusalem, then David would have just stayed where he was. That ain't good enough for a fool and a loser. He's got to do more. He's got to keep reaching more. You know the old saying, you give them enough rope and they hang themselves.
Exactly.
That's just how it is. If he wouldn't have went out to try to kill his father and all his people, the outcome might have been different. But when he did that, he left David no choice. So don't underestimate the enemy, whoever you're going against. Don't underestimate the one you're going to engage. It would be to your benefit to realize that there are people who fight for other reasons than revenge or their pride or their selfish ambitions. Did David fight for those reasons? No. Never did. Anytime he ever almost did, he got stopped. Providentially. There are people, realize this, there are people whose motive for fighting is love, and whose motive for refraining from fighting is love and benevolence. I mean, that's hard for somebody like Absalom to understand. It's impossible for them to understand because they live in a totally selfish realm guarded with pride. They don't understand how real people think. How real people, their values that they hold and what they put first and priorities and how they discern when to fight and when not to fight. They don't understand that. I mean, you fight because you want something. You fight to get revenge. You fight to build up your pride. That's what this is all about. It's about Absalom doing this great thing so that everybody will praise him more. Praise and flattery and all that. And sympathy is addictive to wicked hearts. And they can't live without it, so they have to keep getting. It's just like a drug addict that just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper because he just has to have it. He has to have more, no matter what it costs. Pause and consider soberly the risk you're taking when you go against seasoned, experienced, and older men at a game that they've been playing all their life and in which you are completely inexperienced. Bad mistake. Fatal mistake for Absalom. And for everybody that was following him. Absalom was doomed from the beginning, and he never even realized it. He didn't take any of this into account, but he lived in his self-made fantasy, encouraged by others of his own greatness and his abilities. He had none. He wasn't great. He just tried to appear to be great. By sympathizing with people who had grievances. Without hearing the other side. That's why we have courts and laws and everything else. So people can hear, so that both sides can be presented instead of just one. You'll never get justice with just one side of a grievance. And Absalom, see, didn't do that at all. He just appeared to be good. He just appeared to be great. He wasn't really. Beware of people who counsel you by indulging you, by flattering you, and by petting your proud heart. Loser.
Yeah.
Fool. Coming to a bad end. Proverbs 27 verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend.
That's right.
But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
Yeah.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Friend will tell you the truth.
Yeah, right.
And he has the same goal in mind for you as you do. I mean, he wants you to live.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, for David to defeat Absalom was not even a contest. If we'd go on and read this, but I don't want to this morning, we'll deal with it maybe next week here. But it was simply a slaughter. There was no contest from Absalom and his men. It didn't last no time, except long enough for a whole bunch of people to get killed.
That's right.
Including Absalom.
Yeah. Yeah.
David knew that it would be like this. He's a man of war, has been all of his life. He's done this a bunch of times. He's fought with enemies far, far more fierce than Absalom. What Absalom and this bunch of people are, I mean, David knew them. Y'all understand that? He knew what was going to happen when he sent his three men out there. And that's why he stood in the gate and said, please don't kill Absalom. You can do this without killing him. Of course, that's not how it turned out. But David knew exactly what was going to happen. He was not in any fear of being defeated by Absalom and these people.
Right.
And that's why he avoided it as long as he could. He didn't want these people to die. He didn't want his son to die. Did you ever see anybody pick a fight when you know they're going to lose? And you can't talk them out of it. Do foolish things. You know, people are doing all these stupid stuff now, jumping off of things and doing crazy things to trying to prove how brave they are. They're just proving that they're a fool.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
And you can't talk them out of it because they think that's their glory. I mean, if they do this, I mean, if I can eat 50 hot dogs and live, they're a hero for a year. Some of them choked to death.
Yeah.
Well, what a thing to be. I hope you got better ambitions than that about life, about eternity, about what you want to be when you grow up.
Yes.
Don't be a loser. I mean, here's some lessons from a loser.
Right. Yeah.
Is to manage right. No matter how what you say, no matter how you preach about this, it's still going to go on, and there's going to be Absaloms. They're just lined up in a long line, waiting their turn to give it a try. I never will forget old Chuck Harvey that time in camp over there. He said, you know, Samson was fighting those Philistines. He said, 1,000 of them. He killed 1,000 of them with the jawbone of an ass. And he said, the last two, can you imagine the last two standing there looking at him saying, I think we can take him. Yeah. Fools. The world's just going to have them, isn't it? I hope there's none here. I hope you'll listen to the Word of God and take these lessons from just plain old common sense. I've always tried to preach in a way where it's practical. Many, many years ago, I've decided that if what I preach don't have a practical application in your life, if it don't do you any good and you can't put it in your life, apply it and make it work in your life, then it's not worth much. We just sit up here and tell stories and jokes and entertain and all of that. That's not going to do you any good. This is the kind of stuff that does people good. You need to hear a preacher say that. You need to hear a preacher tell you, don't do that. Don't think that way. Don't act that way. Don't be stupid. You want to be a loser? Here's how you do it. You need to hear that. Because ain't nobody else going to tell you that. You're not going to hear it anywhere else. Amen. Absalom was a bad guy. He was everything that you do not want to be. You don't want your kids to be. Yes, sir. Died and didn't have even a son to carry his name. They killed him and threw him and threw a bunch of rocks on top of him. That's the end of him. And on the other hand, ain't nobody ever forgot his father's name. Everybody wants to live so their life will amount to something. People want to build things so it'll be here when I'm gone. They want to make their mark on the world. Well, the only way you're going to do that is with honor.
That's right.
Yeah. The only wicked people that get remembered are those who do it like Hitler did or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. The rest of them are forgotten. Yes. They're just forgotten. The name of the wicked shall rot. Amen. Father, we thank you for the Word of God and thank you for the good counsel this morning from your Word. Please help us to take these lessons and remember them. And as we live and as we face situations in our life, I pray we'd remember these things and these truths and keep them in the forefront of our mind, and that they'd guide our decisions and choices, and that they'd help us with our foolish pride and selfishness, and that we would not be led in the same path as this man was to his own destruction. Blessed to our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen.